Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this 27th of June, a Friday morning, a beautiful weather day, and it's a delight to have you with us, and we thank you very much for joining us. We always welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Now that my throat is clear, during Ray's newscast,
that's fine.
I apologize.
You know what? It's fine.
That was very rude. I didn't mean to do it.
We're all at the round table, and I should be in another studio doing the news. It's not your fault.
No. There's normally a cough button.
Yeah.
And there is one. It was just very far away.
Right. You know, whatever.
My apologies.
It's only public radio.
What number you got there, Libby? Number two on Libby's headphones. We'll turn those up. Do you hear? Excellent.
Yes, thank you very much.
Alan, how's everything on your end?
Everything's good
so far. It's very good to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here, political activist, political consultant. Thank you. Libby Post is with us as well. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Joe.
And newsman Ray Graff is doing well.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can join us by emailing us at roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. It's that great SCOTUS time where all the all the decisions are coming out from the Supreme Court, so it gives us a lot to talk about and bandy about. The Supreme Court issued a unanimous rebuke to President Obama on Thursday, saying that he had overreached in issuing recess appointments during brief breaks in the Senate's work. Mr. Obama violated the Constitution in 2012, the justices said, by appointing officials to the National Labor Relations Board during a break in the Senate's work when the chamber was convening every 3 days in short pro forma sessions in which no business was conducted. Mm-hmm. The breaks were too short. Justice Breyer wrote in a majority opinion joined by the court's four other more liberal members. Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, in all of these unanimous decisions, particularly the one that I'm really angry about, which is the abortion clinic decision, which is that the 35-foot firm buffer rule was illegal. In each of these, one has to do one thing, and that is to think about what would happen if something that you weren't in favor of, a war protest, for example. And they said, well, no, you can't protest the war because, it's too dangerous to have you within 35 feet of wherever the entrance is. So there's always the other side. Yeah, many people who are of a liberal persuasion are really ticked off about this, and I'm one of them, because I think this is going to really endanger women's rights to an abortion in this particular case. But in all of them, one has to turn around and say, what would happen if it were, something that were quieting liberals or people who really believed in freedom of speech in a different context down? And that's a tough one to do when your issue is so relevant to your life and to the life of others.
So we'll talk about the abortion decision specifically in a moment. But when it comes to the Supreme Court rebuking Obama on right of appointment, Libby, what do you think?
Well, I think we have to remember that, yes, it was because of what Obama did, but this is going to impact all presidents coming into the, down the line. And so, it's not just, it's because of what Obama did. You know, I think people on the left would have raised similar issues when we're under a Republican president. It's just that we respected the president's right to do what he did in terms of the midterm or the off-session appointments. But, it's going to have an impact, but this really is just part and parcel, and it shows the gridlock in Washington. You know, this idea that they didn't do any work in 3 days. Well, how about the idea that they haven't done much all session? You know, there's massive gridlock.
Your point is very well taken. It is really the idea that Obama is so frustrated by you know, by those in the Senate, and they're in the minority, but just in the minority, stopping him from making these appointments and saying, no, you know, when our guys are in, we expect you to hold up your hands. But when you want to make an appointment, we're not going to allow you to do it. And of course, the frustration shows. And that's why he did it. You know, Libby, there's a big difference between, you know, saying nothing doing ever, or changing the parameters. And I think that's what has got a lot of people annoyed here, that he really went further than we have seen presidents go. You know, interim appointments have always been allowed, but this is not just an interim appointment. This is changing the paradigm a little bit.
Well, if the Senate, I mean, if the Republicans would play nice in the sandbox, which I know they're never going to do, and respect the president and respect the work he's doing. I mean, this, to me, this is connected to Boehner,
sure,
you know, suing the president for doing his job. You know, I mean, give me a break. What more do you want this guy to do? I know what they want him to do. They want him to go away. They're going to try to impeach him because he's doing his job.
I think that there's a danger with these Supreme Court decisions and talking about them into making them cases for Congress and too political. In other words, this is a unanimous decision. It's on a very specific constitutional issue, and the unanimous Supreme Court said the president went further than the Constitution allows. And so to pin this one on Boehner would be a stretch, I think.
No, I don't agree with you, but that's not exceptional.
Really? How could you not agree with that statement?
It is a unanimous decision, and it doesn't eliminate presidential recess appointment powers. It limits
right.
it.
Yeah, but you have to wonder, why wasn't this brought up and sued over under George Bush? Or, you know.
Well, I think to Alan's point,
Olivia,
it was a bit
fair.
Of a...
Yeah.
I mean, they were pushing it, right, Alan? I mean, it was over 3 days.
Well, no. Look. If the shoe were on the other foot, it would happen. And, you know, obviously the game is played based on the circumstances of the moment. And if it were Bush, and he did it in a way which the Democrats considered unfair, they probably would have done the same thing. You know, I'm fascinated by what goes on in the court and what the deals really are. So that you have a Chief Justice who comes with the more liberal element. Yeah, they all voted on the abortion thing, which we're going to talk about. But I have a feeling that there are deals arrived at, which is, okay, we'll go along, but not if you make it worse than it is. Are you following?
Yes.
So I'd like to be a fly on the wall, is my point, when these deals are sort of worked out.
I am. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the abortion decision. But I am rather interested in this particular court session that so far we have seen so many unanimous decisions, which I think is interesting to note. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Supreme Court and the striking down of a Massachusetts law and the abortion clinics. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. And we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Haydenville Woodworking and Design. For over 25 years, a small group of artisans designing renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture in the Pioneer Valley. HaydenvilleWD.com. River Valley Market, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValleyMarket.coop. And the Sembrick, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting Music from Salem, performing Elgar's Piano Quintet, July 6th at 7:30 p.m., sembrick.org.
Continuing with the Supreme Court decision talk on the roundtable panel this morning, we look at the Supreme Court unanimously striking down a Massachusetts law that barred protest, counseling, and other speech near abortion clinics. Here is what Justice John Roberts wrote in his majority opinion. A painted line on the sidewalk is easy to enforce, but the prime objective of the First Amendment is not efficiency. The law enacted in 2007 created 35-foot buffer zones around entrances to abortion clinics. State officials said the law was a response to a history of harassment and violence at abortion clinics in Massachusetts, including a shooting rampage at two facilities in 1994. The Massachusetts law was challenged on First Amendment grounds by opponents of abortion who said they sought to have quiet conversations with women entering clinics to tell them about alternatives. Petitioners are not protesters, Chief Justice Roberts wrote. The court was unanimous about the bottom line, but divided on the reasoning, with Justice Roberts writing a narrow opinion. The law blocked too much speech, he said, sweeping in innocent individuals. Looking at the Planned Parenthood, of course, the Planned Parenthood Federation of American Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts pledged to protect patients and workers. Our patients will be safe, said Martha Walls, the chief executive of Planned Parenthood. One tool has now been taken away, but we will now use other tools at our disposal.
The idea that they're having quiet, grandmotherly-like conversations with the women who are going into these clinics is laughable. If you've ever seen what goes on outside of a Planned Parenthood, it's almost like a small little war going on with horrible posters, horrible pictures, people screaming and yelling at the women going in, calling them baby killers. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Kind of a one-sided war, though. I mean, the other, because the other side isn't fighting back.
But
Well. But the other two, but the other side. Look, let's face it. We know what this is about. This is about making sure that those people get cowed and not allowed and won't go into the clinic. And not only, by the way, for abortions, but for everything else.
That was the point. To be clear, that they don't do just abortions.
It's a full range of reproductive health care that the Planned Parenthoods provide. And really, what these people want is they want to shut down Planned Parenthood. They want to get rid of contraception. They want to make abortion illegal, and they're going to bring us back to the back alleys with hangers and women dying.
Again, I hate to say this again, but this is the Supreme Court in a unanimous decision, a very small case. In other words, this is a specific case, as they all are in the Supreme Court. And this one, as Justice Roberts said and concurred by Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, that basically states' concerns can be addressed in other ways. This is not the appropriate way to do it because, as Alan stated in the last discussion, you never know what speech can be infringed upon down the road. So they're looking at the very small aspect of this, but they say this is not the way to attach it. So, again, it's a unanimous decision, but it's not as broad as one might make it out to be.
Well, what I have a question for the rest of the panel, which I've been reading assiduously, trying to figure it all out, is they say you can't have a firm, buffer zone.
Right.
You can have a floating buffer zone. Can anybody tell me what the difference between a firm and a floating buffer zone are?
I think what we're going to start seeing is Planned Parenthood volunteers ringing the entryways, and that would be a floating buffer zone. We're going to see more violence is what we're going to see here. And this is going to give license to the Randall Terrys of the world, the Operation Rescue folks, the folks who go in with guns and shoot up doctors and people who provide women's health care. This is going to give them license. They think that this is there right now to go and protest. And it's just putting women's lives at risk. And, I get it's this narrow thing, but this is one of the hardest decisions a woman has to make, and it should be between her and her doctor. And nobody else has the right to infringe on anybody else getting health care.
Can I ask a question about security? Mm-hmm. I guess I don't understand this when it comes to buffer zones, because we have buffer zones everywhere. If the governor of the state of New York right. walks through a shopping mall, they put up gates and say, you can't go here because for security, we're going to get him from point A to point B. If a celebrity is walking into a place, we're going to put up these zones so that they can walk through and do what they have to do. If a performer is at the Palace Theater and wants to leave and get into their car, there is a buffer zone on the side of the theater so that person can get from the facility to their vehicle. Mm-hmm. Why is that legal?
Well, you don't have people, you know, taking the Palace Theater to the Supreme Court saying, good heavens, there's a 7-foot buffer zone and I wanted to get close to, you know, whoever was appearing
but
there.
But I'm talking about security. I'm talking about the issue of they're trying to keep the person safe.
As the representative of Planned Parenthood said, we have other methods of keeping our patients safe. And this gets back to what Libby said.
Yeah, but this was one of the methods.
Yeah,
but
there
was
are
a,
ways.
Was
and what they do with the governor is one of those ways.
Yeah, but
and you'll
is,
see that.
The thing is that regardless of the buffer zone, these people are still going to be speaking. They are still going to be yelling and screaming at whoever walks in. Now, what about the buffer zone with the Westboro Baptist Church and staying 100 feet away from funerals?
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of, you know, there are other kinds of ways. But you know what? It costs money. And so now, and I'm sure that federal funding that the Planned Parenthoods get, the Congress is going to make sure, the Republicans in Congress are going to make sure that they're not allowed to use that money for security purposes. So which means they're going to have to raise that money privately in order to have a security team at their doors every time, you know, all day long when they're open. So, you know, there are financial implications here. It's
we got about a minute, Alan. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, my favorite governor is Deval Patrick, and he is a very moderate man. He is not a guy who starts up. But he says, and he's a very good lawyer, one of the top lawyers in the United States, and he said, look, this was a good law, and we know it. It was a moderate law. It should not have gone this way. And I agree with him. I think, look, you can predict the way that the five members on that Supreme Court are going to act in most circumstances, and that's what's really behind this. Forget about the legalism.
It's the whole court, though. It's not just the five. It's a unanimous decision.
It's amazing.
Because I explained it to you, Ray, but you're not listening, which is a terrible
thing. There have been split decisions before with minority opinions
written. 10 seconds.
That is not true.
But the whole, like, okay, we'll come back.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, so here's the deal.
Hold on. Okay. Hold that thought. Pause. We'll come back. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break and an NPR news break as well. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Making up our panel this morning, Ray Graff, Libby Post, and Alan Chartok, who has the mailbag open and ready to read letters to you.
Okay, we got a lot of letters. Here comes one from Jill. While chastising President Obama for overreaching in the authority because the Senate wasn't in long enough recess, 3 days instead of 10 days, the court should have also chastised the Senate for playing that 3-day phony session game to prevent the press from doing the president from doing his job legally. The court should have said, sure, what the president did was wrong, but what you, the Senate, did was wrong too. And that's from Jill. And from Gary, the SCOTUS just proved.
I think we just lost Alan. Died there.
All right. Okay. Well, why don't we move on to the other topic? Although I can read.
Yeah. Why don't you?
Hey, Alan.
We missed a little of that.
You went out for a couple minutes, so why don't you repeat the last two letters?
Yeah. Okay.
We got
okay.
Jill, so the next
both
one.
Of them?
No,
okay.
We got Jill's
Gary.
Fine.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to Gary. The SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, just proved their conservatism once again. The anti-abortion folks want to be close so they can berate, embarrass, and harass the women who are already in a state of flux. Doesn't anyone remember the abortion clinic bombings or the doctors who have been shot and killed by these neo-Christian Bible bumpers, thumpers? Regards from Gary. Okay, and then the next one. Whew. Okay. And the next one comes from somebody saying, thank you, Joe, for saying exactly what I was thinking. Why are free speech zones legal where protesters cannot get close to politicians or other, quote, important people, but the rest of us are on our own? This is one more example of the two-tiered attitude of our government, the Supremes in particular. Okay. And then from Jill, we did that one already. And then... Matt Mann. All right, what does he say? I have it. Drone wars between factions within given boundaries at clinic entries. The way game watchers will be so occupied, they'll let women obtain the care they've entitled that way. Game watchers will be so occupied they'll let women obtain the care they are entitled to and deserve. We do love our games, right? Says Matt Mann. And John says, get gay men to volunteer. Have them form a phalanx to escort patients. Give them chance to shout back at the protesters. I think we could raise plenty of volunteers, but maybe I'm being naive, says John. And then is from Jim. To sum up the court's decision, those going to clinic for reproductive services must be within spitting distance of pro-life activists. Woo! And then from Eric. No, there's nothing there. It's there, but it's not there. Well, I think we had him anyway. And Matt Mann again. Would Clarence Thomas's haberdasher please send a photo of those cute robes they make for the assorted flies on the wall? That's what he said. And then we were criticized for saying, you know, too much.
You know?
What else can I tell you? You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah,
I know.
And Joseph, right?
And did we get Joseph? Okay, you read Joseph. Go ahead.
Joseph.
Joseph, we'll read Joseph. While the court may find that the Senate is in session when it says it is, it has taken extra constitutional powers when it stipulates that the Senate must be in recess for 10 days for a presidential appointment to be constitutional, is itself unconstitutional. That is a dictatorial decision that usurps the power of the executive and legislature, whereas the ABA and legal scholars, doesn't such a ruling demand a constitutional amendment? All right. So we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We touched on this yesterday, but we didn't get into it, which was, because it broke just as we were starting the program, the Bloomberg big soda ban is officially dead. The state's highest court on Thursday refused to reinstate New York City's controversial limits on sales of jumbo sugary drinks, exhausting the city's final appeal and dashing the hopes of health advocates who have urged state and local governments to curb the consumption of drinks and food linked to obesity. A 20-page opinion came out in the state court and wrote that the complexity of the proposal and its reach into the everyday lives of millions meant that the city council ought to address it instead. It was a major ruling for the American soft drink industry, which had fought the plan. Two lower courts had already ruled against the city, saying it overreached in trying to prohibit the sale of sugary drinks in containers larger than 16 ounces.
God help us if Bloomberg on our side wants to prevent people from dying from all kinds of things. But you know, the one thing he was able to accomplish by doing this, even if the court said no, was to make everybody aware of just what poison this stuff can be to so many people.
Libby?
You know, it's sort of a, I understand what Bloomberg was trying to do, but, you know, it is the extension of the nanny state.
Joe
and I drink way too much aspartame in our diet.
I was just going to say, you are,
but,
you do.
But it's, you know, it's not the direct vein of into my, in, the direct drip of sugar into my vein. So, you know, I get what he was trying to do. I think he could have gone about fighting childhood obesity and the obesity epidemic here a little bit differently without it getting sensationalized like this, because it took the focus off of the real issues.
In other words, Libby, not in my backyard.
Well, you know.
I drink soda, you know. I mean, he's trying to save lives. Yeah. I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, but it's 4 ounces going to save a life. What's the difference between – it's stupid. It's 16 ounces or 20 ounces. Big deal. And instead you buy two of them. I don't get it.
This is not about soda. This is about the power of a mayor to do things that – and here's what the decision said. Judge Reed said – it misapprehends, mischaracterizes, and thereby curtails the powers of the New York City Board of Health to address the public health threats to the early 21st century.
By the way, you're not wrong in that. David Axelrod, my favorite person in history, tried to do it with smoking. He tried to do it rather than wait for the legislature to do the law or the courts to do the law. He used his public health counsel to say, you know, to put a kibosh on the smoking. He, of course, lost, but he made a lot of points.
Well,
a lot of people started it, yes.
That was the dissent.
Go ahead.
In the majority opinion, the judge says there's a big difference between the soda proposal and banning trans fats, because when you ban trans fats, it's not really interfering with the personal autonomy of people who are eating. In other words, the food tastes more or less the same. This affects somebody's ability to buy something just because it's an ounce higher than allowed. And this is all about power, because down the road, you don't know what this will be used to justify. So the Supreme Court does. That's what these courts and two lower courts in New York all said the same thing.
And I say bah on all three of them. But before that, I was listening carefully to the news, and there was this very interesting thing that they said for a lot of millions of dollars, they're planning on putting a suicide prevention thing on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Should we spend all of that money on the Golden Gate Bridge so that people can't jump off? And the answer is, of course, they can jump off the top of a building.
Right.
You know, people want to kill themselves. They're going to kill themselves. And so there are limits on, I guess, what government can do to protect us. But as far as I'm concerned, they should try to protect us.
All right. I guess the argument being, is that really protecting us? I mean, it seems
what
like putting your is taking sugary drinks of 20 ounces off the market really protecting us when you're allowing. Okay, so you say, okay, store, you can't serve. Here was my problem with this all along. And by the way, this was the first topic we discussed when we started the roundtable
really?
Panel. Yes.
Ever?
Ever. So, wow. So I'm glad we're coming full circle. So the whole thing is that you could say, okay, you store, you can sell 20 ounces, you can sell 16 ounces, and you can put it right next to the 2-pound coffee cake. Now, it just doesn't make sense. If you're going to say, okay, well, there's sugar in that issue, then it has to be, what do you mean?
It's too much power. It's too much power.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, you know.
Oh, boy.
I don't agree with you guys. I think what happens is every time somebody gets into one of these arguments, they say, yeah, but, you know, the cake and the other thing, and people can get fat from other things.
But where does it stop? Where does it stop?
Let's have 1 ounce
soda. I don't know where it
stops.
But, you know.
We'll do shots of soda. 1 ounce sodas are all that are allowed. I mean, who's.
But you can have 20 of them.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Let's move on.
All right. We're all going to have to disagree
on this one.
You know.
Well, the three of us agree, and Alan doesn't agree.
Yeah, three of you. That's right. Three wrongs
Good.
And one right.
Aha!
Thank you very much.
All right. You know, we were going to, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we have letters, and then I desperately want to get to the Boehner suing Obama story, because we haven't talked about it, and we should. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the letters, and then we will continue on our merry way. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Café La Perche, Hudson, New York, Boulangerie Lounge and Bistro, featuring European wine selections, courtyard dining, dinner menu with bistro fare served nightly, cafelaperche.com. Oakwood Friends School, Poughkeepsie, New York, an independent college preparatory boarding and day school for grades 6 through 12, focusing on the individual learner, oakwoodfriends.org. And Capital Cardiology Associates, introducing Enhanced Cardiac Access for same-day assessment and treatment of patients with active cardiac symptoms, including chest pain, shortness of breath, and palpitations. EnhancedCardiacAccess.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the final segment of our roundtable panel for this Friday morning. And we thank you very much for joining us. We thank you for writing to us, roundtable@wamc.org. We will talk about what is the lawsuit that John Boehner is posing to the President of the United States in just a moment. But before we do that, we will take a look at the letters that we have gotten on the subjects we've just spoken about.
Yeah, that's right. And John wrote a brilliant letter. He said, Joe and Libby are slaves to soda manufacturers. The soda manufacturers. This is not about nanny state. It's about being subject to enticing advertisement by profit makers who couldn't care less about our health. That's from John. And a brilliant letter, I may say.
Does the law do anything to change that?
Let him read more letters.
Keep reading, Alan.
All right,
keep going.
We want to talk about John Boehner.
And another brilliant letter, this one from Joe. Alan is right. Bloomberg elevated the issue to public debate, and his efforts have already had an impact on soft drink consumption. The other panelists consider whether the prohibition of marijuana when discussing state nannyism. Okay. And then
I'm all for legalizing it.
I know you are.
And I'm not going to have any 16-ounce gin during the show. I just want to say that right now.
Have a one-ounce soda shot. Ray, one of the best things you have ever said on the air.
Fine.
Okay. And then from Steve, if Bloomberg really cared about the health of New York City's kids, then there were so many other tools at his disposal. What about making New York City's public school lunch programs the best in the country? What this is really about is arbitrary exercise of power, and it shades uncomfortably into fat shaming and the perversive notion among our nation's elite rulers that the poor, because of their sloth and stupidity, are the authors of their own miserable circumstances. And then James says, I think the government should help inform and educate the populace to be healthy, but regulate what people should buy is wrong. However, I should not have to pay for ignorant people via taxes, insurance, and other costs because they choose to drink liters of this poison water. And then Bob says, If all of us have to pay for an individual's health care via insurance or government programs, then all of us have the right to impose healthy diets on everyone. It's insane to say that we should all share the cost of health care, but then let individuals abuse their health. Boy, I couldn't agree with that more. Bob said, okay, that's what Bob said. All right. And then Richard said, health advocates should surround places that sell sugary drinks and yell at people who buy them, call them fatty and stupid. Lots of doors open in the court. And I guess that's it. Okay. Eric said, what Joe was describing was floating zones as compared with the rigid painted line ones that the court struck down. I still don't understand the concept of a floating zone as opposed to a specific zone. Has anybody figured that one out yet? No.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I have. Did you find any other show?
There's one from James and one from Thad.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think government should help inform and educate the populace to be healthy, but regulate what people should buy is wrong. However, I should not have to pay for ignorant people via taxes, insurance, and other costs because they choose to drink liter.
We did that one.
Then Thad said... Yes.
Thad said, is Alan really for taking all our freedoms away?
Sure he is.
That's what Thad said. Not all of them.
No?
Not all of them.
Okay.
No, but, you know... But the ones that kill us, yes,
so
of course.
If Bloomberg had imposed a limit on sushi, would you have been down with that?
Well, he might have a point. I mean, I love sushi, but, you know, there are issues.
So you're fine with that?
I didn't say I was fine with it.
Okay, all right.
I was trying to avoid your trap.
Aha!
Well played, sir.
Yeah,
the trap. Okay, so let's go to the final story of our day. For the panel, anyway, and this is John Boehner seeking to sue President Obama over executive actions. Speaker John Boehner announced that he would introduce legislation next month allowing the House to sue President Obama over his use of executive actions. In a letter to lawmakers, Mr. Boehner expressed concern with what he and many in the Republican conference considered the president's unconstitutional overreach. Libby Post,
This is such a crock, it's not even funny. They have nothing else to do. There are pressing issues to deal with in this country, and they're looking to sue to spend taxpayer money like they did. They spent $2.3 million defending DOMA before the Supreme Court struck it down, the Defense of Marriage Act. So they're going to spend more of our hard-earned tax dollars that we pay every week out of our paychecks to sue the president? This is insane. They are flailing to the point of having absolutely no direction whatsoever except for one thing. Stop and bring down this president. And it's becoming transparently clear that that's all they want to do, and they have no concern with the well-being of the country, as far as I'm concerned.
Is it even legal? I mean, can you sue a sitting president? I thought if they had a constitutional reason to impeach, yes. But I thought you weren't allowed to sue a president. I never heard of this thing before.
You'd have to ask some torts lawyer.
Yeah.
What do you think, Alan?
I don't know.
He's still ruminating about 16-ounce beverages.
Right. I mean, the idea that...
No, I'm still ruminating about the best thing you've ever said on the radio, which is soda should be limited to 1-ounce shots.
Fine.
That was great.
Fine.
I mean, the fact that Boehner says that this is not a prelude to impeachment is laughable. It really is. And this is just one more... Go ahead.
Look, Libby, you make a great point. They are searching like crazy for anything. You know, the president's popularity isn't all that high, but they don't have anybody who can beat him, and they certainly don't have the issues. They don't have Hispanics. They don't have women. They don't have... So they keep looking for things, and they're beating the dead horse on the Obamacare. That's not working for them either. So they're just desperate to find something.
And when Boehner announced this, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee had its best fundraising day ever. So they are really shoring up the base.
That is so interesting that you raise that because, you know, I get 1,000 emails a day, maybe more, and I'm always just deleting. And I get stuff from Nancy Pelosi and from the Republicans and from everybody saying a terrible thing happened today. We won an election. We lost an election. The president said, send us money. It's really wild.
Right.
And it must be working.
And the majority of those contributions were under $200 so that they are smaller donors. Keep doing it, John, and we'll just keep raising money. And let me just say one other thing about the abortion protesters. One of the more creative ways of exploiting them is I have heard many times that Planned Parenthood's pledge a picket so that however many people are outside picketing, you know, they raise money on, you know, $5 a picketer, and they get to raise money, which is totally undermines the argument of the people who are against abortion and just helps the Planned Parenthood do its job.
And I want to point out that Frank says obesity has both suppressed smoking as the number one cause of death in America and simultaneously compromised the benefits of recent improvements in healthcare. However, we can rebuke him, Bloomberg, for his proverbial cutting of the Gordian knot. And he had a lot more, but I'm not reading it all. I'll just read you a little bit of it. And Michael says the president has made their job irrelevant and they just can't stand it. And that's on Boehner. So that's what Michael had to say. And Stewart has to say there will be no buffer zone at Simon Pure free speech situations like Occupy, political campaign meetings, Coke fundraisers, gun shows, and the like, I bet sauce for the goose won't be appreciated by the gander. RWS says, you guys are missing one point example. I enjoy a 12-ounce can of Pepsi. Nowadays, it's hard to find one cold in a convenience store. Why? Because the retail industry's upselling us to 20-ounce bottles. Even a small mom-and-pop retailer has no incentive to make shelf space for a 12-ounce can. Only regulation can protect this. And Steven says, will this apply? I don't know what this is about. Will this apply to the group? No, I don't know what that is. Okay. So, and all. That's it.
That is it.
That is it. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. Roundtable, WAMC.org.
Bye.